What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Quarantine with Jesus podcast. My name is Keshawn, and we are on episode 5 of our series, Dear Christian College Student. So today we're talking about an interesting topic, get back up. Have you ever felt like you were on top of the world? You know, you was doing everything right. You were so locked in, getting your goals right, on the right track. You wasn't getting distracted. Then you made this one simple mistake. This one little mistake. Maybe it was porn. Maybe you started smoking again, started partying again. Maybe you went back to that relationship or went deeper into a different relationship that you knew wasn't for you. And now you fell and you're at a place where you feel like you can't get back up. You're wondering, how did I get here? Is it even possible for me to get back up? Is it worth it to get back up? Maybe you feel like you crossed the line. There's no way I could get back up from where I just went. There's no way I went that far and God would still allow me to be here. Sup, y'all? So I have 4 steps today on how to get back up. And I believe that if you really do these 4 steps, it will help you get back up and also give you insight so you can encourage others to get back up. Let's get right into it. So the first step is confession. What is confession? Dictionary definition of confession is just admitting your guilt of something, right? So for example, a practical example is going to court, saying you did a crime, or in prayer saying like, yo, God, I just sinned, or I just did that, fell into porn, right? Or whatever. But I want to challenge you to the thought that confession is much more deeper than just telling God that you did a sin. I want to raise the point to you that confession is the first cry for help. Confession is a cry for help. When you confess, you open the door to Jesus. You're telling him, I need you. I need you. I'm acknowledging that I'm nothing without you, that I make mistakes without you when I try to do it my own way. And I need you. An analogy for this is, you know, Batman came out a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys seen it yet. It's fire. I gotta go check it out. But there's something called a bat signal, which is a distress signal, right? So it would be like there's a big like light thingy, like a big light, right? And it shoots like Batman's signal into the sky. He can see it from anywhere. It's a distress signal. So when he sees that, it shows him that somebody needs help, and he has to go running. He has to go running towards the bat signal. So it's the same thing with confession. Confession is the bat signal for Jesus, right? But sometimes we can find ourselves in a place like questioning God or not even wanting to confess or even speak to him about our situation, because it's like, why do I have to confess or talk to a God that claims to be all-knowing, right? He's all-knowing, but why do I have to go and tell him what I'm dealing with for him to help me? Why can't he just swoop in and save the day? He's all knowing. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows what's going on right now. So why can't he just come and save me? Well, the thing we have to understand is that Jesus is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. And I'm even reminded about this verse that I'm about to pull up real quick. It's Revelations 3:20. Let me pull that up real quick. Revelations 3:20. This is Jesus talking. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens it, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So here's the thing. Jesus is a gentleman, right? He knocks at the door. He's not going to just barge in and kick the door in. You feel me? Like he waits. So in this verse, we see that confession conviction is that first like call, is that knock. Like when we're watching porn and we get that guilty feeling, or we smoke weed, we get that guilty feeling, or we're around people that God told us to stay away from and stuff like that, we get that guilty feeling. That's Jesus knocking on the door. When you feel that your spirit, like you hurt God, when you feel like you did something wrong, that's the knock. He's saying, back to me. Let me in. Come, let me inside your life again, right? And that's the difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction draws you in. It pulls you to God. It's telling you that you need to go back to God, go back to your first love. But condemnation is saying that you just did something wrong. You have to stay away from God. It pushes you away from God. So condemnation pushes away, right? And the condemnation pushes away and conviction pulls you towards God, right? So after we confess, right, and we invite Jesus in, right, he opened the door. We say, all right, you can come in. That's what happens when we confess. It's us opening the door to Jesus. Then he steps inside, right? But the problem is, if you look at the verse, right, it says that he comes inside, right? And I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. But the problem is that once Jesus enters the room and he sits down at the dinner table with us and he's ready to chill and have fun and fellowship with us and work on us, and feel me? But the problem is that we don't allow ourselves to do that. We don't think we deserve to be at the table with Jesus. We don't think we deserve to be even sitting in his presence or reading his word or even praying to him. And the root of that problem is us not forgiving ourselves. And we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. Forgiving yourself is simply just showing the same love and the same grace that God shows to you. You show that to yourself. Just like how we're called as believers to love and forgive everybody else. We're also called to love and forgive ourselves. Also to forgive ourselves. And it may be hard to do that because sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves because we are more conscious of what we've done. We are more conscious of what we've done. Feel me? Like there's nobody, sometimes there's nobody around us. And it was just us and alone. In secret, or even just in our thoughts, and then we sinned, and then we're just like beating ourselves up. But why don't you do that to other people? Why is it okay for you to forgive other people like they slide when it comes to you? You'll let yourself slide. You have to show yourself that same grace, because when you're not doing that, you're holding yourself back from everything that God has for you. Because he's there. He's not even worried about the problem anymore. He's not even worried about what you did. He already forgave you. The word says that once you confess your sins, you're already forgiven. He forgave you already. And God is ready to move on. He's ready to have you walking in your purpose, have you on top of the world, killing everything, doing what you're supposed to do, right? What you were called to do and what you were put on this earth to do. But you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. Don't be the reason for missing your purpose. Don't be the reason for missing purpose because you haven't forgiven yourself. Like, come on. And us judging ourselves is us acting like we're God, for example. Like, it's us acting like we're God. We're not God. If God already forgave us, then it's over. It's over. Are we saying that our judgment system or measure of righteousness is larger than God's? That's kind of what we're implying, where we're telling God, like, no, like, you can't forgive me, or like, you don't understand, like I need to punish myself. Like, no. And yes, it is that simple. It is that simple. You confess and then you're forgiven. Sometimes we tell ourselves it's not that simple. It's not that simple. There's no way it can be that simple. After what I just did, there's no way I can be that simple. There's no way I could just get back to doing that. Yes, you can. That's what grace is. That's what grace is. That's not permission to just go and live a lifestyle full of sin and intentionally, going against God because, oh, he's going to forgive me anyway. No, but it's showing that, like, yo, we're humans. We're going to make mistakes. Those mistakes have already been calculated. And God knew what he signed up for. God did not make a mistake when he chose you. He knew what he signed up for. So forgive yourself. Let it go. You are not God. Let it go so that you can move on. There's greater for you, but you can't stay in this place of, I just did this, I just did that. You can't stay in this place. That's a trap of the enemy. He wants to discourage you and make you feel like you're not worthy of enough. You're not worthy, but God told you you're worthy. And that's the only opinion that should matter. God told you you're worthy. So we confess our sins, right? And then we forgive ourselves, right? After we forgive ourselves, it's time for us to reflect. It's time for us to reflect. What does that mean? By reflecting, I mean analyzing the situation. That's when we ask the question, okay, how did I get here? How did I get back to this place, right? And now this is not the time to wallow in your sin and have like a pity party and feel bad for you. We already passed that. Remember, we already confessed. We forgave ourselves already. It's over with. Now it's higher. How did I get here? So you figure out how to not make the same mistake next time, right? So you reflect, you analyze. This is where you find out, was it a certain person that triggered me? Was it a certain time of the night, time of the day that triggered me? Was it a certain show I watched that triggered me? What actually went wrong? Did I push a boundary? Was I toting the line? Was I entertaining a certain thought for months and not being intentional? And then I got here. That's what this time of reflection is for. And in this reflection, it's time to invite God into it and invite your community into it. God, invite God into it. That's prayer. You're asking God, yo, show me anything that's in my heart that's causing me to do this. You read his word, you get a conviction, you may get an aha moment, like, oh, that's what I've been doing wrong. This is why I keep falling into that trap or falling into that sin. You're asking God to uproot anything in your heart because the word says that our heart is evil and full of wickedness. So we got to keep, you know, cleansing it out day and night and denying ourselves. To give you an analogy for that, think about weeds and grass. You know, weeds continually grow. You have to keep cutting them down every single day. Feel me? So it's the same thing with our hearts. You ask God to reveal anything in our heart that needs to be changed. For example, you may find that you haven't forgiven somebody, which is causing you to act a certain way towards that person, or cause you to run away from what you're supposed to be doing because you haven't forgiven that person, right? And then after we reflect, this is the last and most important step of all. If you came this far in this podcast and listened to this, and you don't do this, you've wasted your time. Honestly, you truly have wasted your time. After you confess to God what you're doing, you forgive yourself, and you reflect, you analyze the situation, what went wrong, how did that go down, da-da-da. And now the last and final step is to do something about it. Do something about it. You analyze the basketball game, you realize that when I shoot from here, I miss, but I shoot better on this side of the court. So the next game, go and do better. Commit to making a change. Commit to being better. Matthew 5:30 is another verse that I'm reminded of right now. Let me pull it up real quick. Matthew 5:30, I think. Yeah. Matthew 5:30. It says, and if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, that's not talking about literally, oh, I got to cut off my hand because I just masturbated, or cut off my eyes, taking my eyes because I just watched porn, or cut off my tongue because, you know, I just cursed, and da, da, da. That's not what it's saying. That verse is all about boundaries, man. That verse is all about boundaries. What boundaries do I have to set so that I don't fall into the same trap over and over again? It may be a group of people you have to may have to stay away from. It may be a show you have to stop watching that's causing you to fall into lust and porn and temptation. It may be a certain time of night, or you know that at a certain time, I do not need to be on my phone. It's a setup. I do not need to be on my phone. So you analyze, right? And then you figure out those things, those boundaries that you need to set, and then you set those boundaries. You keep those boundaries. You get back to the basics. Reading your word, praying, and fasting, get back to the basics. And it's that simple. It's that simple. So you've fallen. You understand that it was wrong. You did what you did. You can't stay here. Confess. Then forgive yourself. Reflect on the situation. And get back up.